If you'd like to follow along with the scripture reading this morning, I'll be reading from James chapter 3, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. I was trying to come up with the best way to honor the Father. I'm not talking about my dad, though I did talk to him this morning. I'm trying to come up with the best way to honor the Father. You know, there are a bunch of choices that could be made, and in our lives, we make different choices. I chose one. Choose wisdom. That was my pick for this day. If we were to, in every situation, choose wisdom, every part of our life would be enhanced. From relational conflict, choose wisdom. Education, occupation, choose with wisdom. The way we interact with people on a daily basis, choose wisdom. Every facet of our lives would be enhanced if we did this. Chose wisdom. It's very interesting. In James chapter 3, and I've got about three texts for us to follow to today. But starting here in James chapter 3, notice where wisdom comes from. Back up in verse 13, I need to start there, as Jake read so well. If you're wise and if you want understanding, here's what you should do. You should work in meekness of wisdom. And this is not wisdom, verse 14. It's not wise to be jealous. Have you been jealous before? It's not a wise choice. It's not wise to seek out things for yourself at the exclusion of all other people. Selfishness. Have you been selfish? It's not a wise choice. Do not boast, self-pride and conceit, and talk about things that aren't true. It's not a wise choice. You see, verse 15, those things are not wisdom. Because wisdom, where does it come from? Verse 15, it comes down from above. And when we choose wisdom, we choose for our relationships, for our work interactions, we choose for our own personal standing in life, purity, peace, gentleness, submission. We choose mercy. We choose impartiality. We choose honesty when we choose wisdom. Will you choose wisdom today and every day moving forward? If you want to be godly, you choose wisdom. There's an example in the Bible about a man who chose wisdom. Do you have a guess? Yeah, you probably got it right. Solomon. All the way back in 1 Kings chapter 3. Will you turn there with me? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. That's where you're looking at in the Old Testament. If you don't know the books of the Bible, you're pretty new to this faith thing, Christianity thing, maybe even the Bible thing. Here's how I remember 1 and 2 Kings. It's reverse alphabetical order. So the 1 and 2 Samuels begin with S. The Kings begin with K, and the Chronicles begin with C. It's reverse alphabetical, S-K-C. That's how I originally placed 1st and 2nd Kings. You might be thinking, well, I'm just going to memorize it, Austin. It's way easier than doing whatever it is you just said. Well, sometimes my mind is a bit backwards. So that's what I chose. I chose to remember it in that reverse order. And so in 1st Kings chapter 3, this guy Solomon, if you're, again, unfamiliar, he's the king of Israel at this point. The first king of Israel was Saul. And then Saul faltered and fell away. And then David was chosen. And then David ceased his reign as king. Solomon came onto the scene, who is David's son. David passed away. And here we are in 1 Kings chapter 3. And I think this is incredibly interesting. If you've not heard this story before, let me read from the text. And I want you to listen. And I want you to put yourself into Solomon's shoes. A son of a king who has claimed David as having a heart after God. And so what did Solomon see from his father? A man who chose wisdom. I don't think it's an accident in the story what Solomon chose, but rather a repeating of what he saw in his dad. Fathers, did you hear that? So Solomon made a marriage alliance, this is verse 1, with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. So the people were sacrificing at the high places. High places meaning altars that were established, making sacrifices to gods, not the God, Yahweh. So the people were sacrificing at high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at high places. You see, God wanted his own place. It was tabernacle at first, temple soon to be. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And here's what God said. Have you ever had dreams where you've woken up and you're like, what in the world was that about? Well, the other night, I'm fast asleep. And lo and behold, it was not a dream. Someone slapped me straight across the face. It was my wife. She was having a dream, and the spider was crawling on my forehead, so she thought just to go ahead and smack it. Well, that startled me, to say the least. I said I wouldn't call you out again, and I'm sorry, sweetheart. Okay. Whew. I couldn't imagine this dream. You know, I couldn't imagine to live in a time when God spoke and interacted with his people in that dream-like state. Because if you've been in a dream and you've experienced that dream, you know you can do amazing things. I was doing windmill 360s in my dreams in high school. I mean, I was lucky to touch the net. I've done amazing things in my dreams, but then guess what? I wake up. But back in that day and in that time, God spoke to his people in those dreams. And so I wonder what the mindset was of Solomon. In a place and a state that sometimes you even question the fabric of reality. What I think is interesting is, it showcases what's really in the heart of Solomon. Okay, so God appears to Solomon in this dream, at the end of verse 5. He says this, ask, what shall I give you? God says to Solomon. So Solomon said this, you've shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love. And you've given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God. Can I pause and say, how wonderful is it as a son to serve the God of your father? I got to text my dad this morning and say, Father, I said, Dad, it's so cool that we get to preach. My dad's a preacher. We get to preach separate together. Man, I hope that for my sons too. You've made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, you hear the humility. I do not know how to go out or come in. In other words, God, I need your help in my mind and in my heart to understand how to lead this people. So he says, skipping down 8 and 9, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you've chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. So here's what Solomon answers. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people? What an answer. God goes on to say in verses 10 through 14, he said, whoa, you didn't ask for money? You didn't ask for power? You didn't ask for any of those self-centered, self-centric answers? Which, by the way, if you go back to James chapter 3, this is the first time I thought about this. Verses 14 and 15, the wisdom that is from the earth, that is demonic, that is not godly, it's self-centered. It's selfish. And so Solomon is showcasing the heart of a man who chose wisdom. And what did Solomon do, guys? He chose wisdom, and God exalted him for it. As a matter of fact, God said here in the text, because you did not choose those things, but yet an understanding and a wise mind, I'm going to give you those anyway. Because when God's people choose what is godly, he takes care of the rest anyway. Yeah, now that's good. When we choose wisdom. And so as the story unfolds, this is an interaction that absolutely baffles my mind. So Solomon awoke from his dream, verse 15. Look in your Bibles down to verse 15. So Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And I'm almost thinking, is he wondering, was it real? Was it true? Probably. Back in that day when God spoke and communicated a lot through dreams, I bet he believed it. Regardless, and behold, it was a dream. So then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. Well, you need to know those offerings, the burnt and the peace offerings, they are sacrifices made to God in a worshipful setting. The burnt offering is about the complete devotion of the worshiper, utter dedication. So to offer that burnt offering, it's saying, God, I'm utterly and entirely devoted to you. And a peace offering was made for the sake of saying, all things are good here. We're in a good relationship. So you're seeing the heart and the mind that is Solomon's. Now we get to verse 16. And this is where it gets strange. Two prostitutes come before the king. They come in a bit of a scuffle, an argument. And coming before the king, they stood before him, verse 17. Then one woman began to speak. In this story, if it were not in Scripture, I would question the fabric of reality. So the one woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I, we live in the same house. I don't know what that must have been like in that setting. I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. No one else was there to tell which baby belonged to which mother. So in the middle of the night, verse 19, this woman's son died because she laid on him. Can't imagine the emotional state that mother must have been in. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, laid him on her breast, and laid her dead son at mine. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born. But the other woman said, no, the living child is mine and the dead child is yours. And the first said, no, the dead child is yours and the living child is mine. And thus they spoke before the king. Can you imagine? The tension must have been palpable. You could have cut it. Standing before the king, mind you, what was their profession? Don't answer me. Think about it. This was not high society, my friends. This is a couple of individuals who give their bodies over for money. And the fact that he even gave them a place before his throne, and then he gave them he gave those ladies his ears to hear. Not even just his place and his presence and his ears, but his mind to understand the situation. You know what he did? He chose wisdom. Because according to James chapter 3, verse 17, what is wisdom? Wisdom is peaceable. He sought to sow peace. Wisdom is impartial. He didn't care what their profession was. The life of a child was at stake. He chose sincerity. He cared for the truth. He's open to reason. He wanted to figure out what was right. Do you see all those characteristics of wisdom bubbling up through the pages of Scripture as Solomon interacted with these two ladies? I do. And so here's what he said. And if you don't know the story, you're probably on the edge of your seat, or you have, spoiler alert, gone to read the end. Can you imagine the tension? Servant, give me a sword. Hold the child. We're going to cut the child in half. And that way, each mother can have half of the child. Again, if this story was not in Scripture, I wouldn't believe it. And so one mother says, "Oh no, my Lord, do not cut this child. Give her that baby." While the other mother said, "Good. If I can't have that child, neither one of us can have the child." So David said, or Solomon said, "Put the sword down. The baby belongs to the mother who's trying to give it away. The other one's the liar." He chose wisdom. And God empowered his life. He chose wisdom. And a tumultuous situation was brought peace. He chose wisdom. The life of a child was saved. He chose wisdom. My question for us this morning is, will we? When we choose wisdom, God empowers our life. I made a list of things that wisdom does. Look at those. I'm not going to talk about them. Do you want that for your life? Do you want clean intentions? Do you want grace to be flowing from your actions? Do you love honesty? And you want to think about more than just yourself? Choose wisdom. How? How do I choose wisdom? I think some action steps for us this week might be this. Read through the Proverbs. Did you know that the word wisdom is referenced 39 times in the book of Proverbs? Guess who's given credit for writing the Proverbs? Interesting. The guy we just spoke about. The thesis statement in Proverbs, if you're taking notes, write down Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and then also Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Those are the thesis statements of the book of Proverbs. And it talks about what wisdom really is. And I'll read it for you. 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It is a wise thing to stand in awe of God." Will you choose wisdom? Going all the way back to James chapter 3, wisdom comes from above, up there. I love that phrase. If something is coming from above, I want it. When it rains outside, you know what song we sing with our kids? "It's raining gumdrops." I try and make up other verses about marshmallows and chocolate and cheesy gordita crunches. I want what's coming down from above, whether it's the raindrops, whether it's the sun rays, whether it's the rainbow that are coming down to touch the earth, whatever the case may be, I want what's coming down from above. And spiritually speaking, my friends, it's wisdom. In James chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, From the Father of lights, within whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. It's from above, and guys, I want it. And then there's a wonderful phrase back in John chapter 3, connecting James 3 all the way back to John 3 with Jesus. And Jesus makes a statement in John 3 verse 3. Unless you are born again, raise your hand if you've heard that phrase. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, we've got three people who've ever read John chapter 3 this morning. Note to self for tonight, read John chapter 3 in my sermon. Okay, now it's behind you on the screen. Do you see John chapter 3? Unless one is born again. Did you know that in the original language, that word again is ambiguous? It could also mean from above. And in verse 3 and in verse 7 and verse 31, it is a word that says, unless one is born again, or in other words, is born from above. The source, the origin of my life is from above. Wisdom is from the Father. We choose wisdom, and guess what He gives? His kingdom. When we choose wisdom, God empowers our life, and He provides us a place in the kingdom of the Son for those who will wisely choose Him. Amen. I hope you choose wisdom. It'll honor the Father. But it will also produce in your life a change and a newness that is only identifiable through Jesus the Son. So who are you identified with? Because unless one is born again, born from above, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? We call ourselves a place to believe, belong, and become. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Allow Him to save you in a believer's baptism where God gives you the forgiveness of sins.